We'll be in Romans chapter 10 this evening. Romans chapter 10. As I was praying and thinking about the message for this evening, the verse came to mind about submitting unto the righteousness of God and not our having our own righteousness. I want to go to Romans chapter 10. You guys are all familiar with the passage. You guys are all familiar with the verses. You guys are all familiar with the message. But I hope you don't mind hearing the gospel one more time. Maybe God will do something in somebody's heart this evening. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, it says there, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And by the way, with that gentleman that got saved yesterday, the college gentleman did all the work. God just allowed me to be there for the picking of the fruit, and they'll be the ones that follow up. So praise the Lord for your guys' work and your guys' soul winning. It was refreshing to be out with college students soul winning again. Keep the joy and keep the fervor. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Title of the message is Defining Missions. Of course, as we know very well, missions is having a desire for a people to be saved. And you guys, wherever you're at, have a people that you witness to, whether it's RU, whether it's junior church, whether it's Sunday school classes, whether it's work, whether it's wherever you guys get to minister at, wherever you guys get to witness at, wherever you guys get to soul win at, whichever city it is, whichever town it is in the area, whenever you see somebody, there's a desire for people to be saved. And that's what missions is, having a desire for your own people, wherever you're at, to be saved. Now there on the Hopi Reservation, God brought this back to my memory. I had forgotten it when I had first gotten to the reservation, not long after I had been there. I got to go and be at a funeral, and I'm going to talk more about the Hopi funeral later on, but I believe I got to preach the funeral there, and I actually did some things wrong, and in my nervousness, I jumped the gun, and I did a whole bunch of things before I was supposed to do it, and things like that. But there at the funeral, you're sitting around, and they put the body in the grave, and then all the natives are sitting there around it, and the Hopi funeral is quite different. The ladies, everybody usually sits up with the body the night ahead of time, the day the funeral is being done. I'm going to get in more into the grave later on, but the men dig the grave all day long. Lots of times they'll dig it by hand. Every now and then they'll have a backhoe or something like that. They'll dig the grave all day long while the ladies are back cooking food and things in the kitchen. And then usually the men are the ones that are there for the putting away of the body. And then everybody goes back to the home, whoever it is that has passed and wherever that family is. And they get fed all kinds of food for digging the grave and putting the body away and things like that. And that's how their ceremony goes about. That's how how it leads up to it. It's not their ceremony, that's itself what happens at the grave. But as I was sitting there at the grave that one time, and we were going over things, and I was going to preach and this and that, and then there was a row of ladies that was there that time. Usually there's not ladies there, and they were just holding onto their chest and rocking back and forth, and no, 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 no. The world doesn't have any hope, no matter what religion they have. If it's good deeds, it's no hope. Preacher boys, missionary wives, as you're going out there, you go through hard times and you're in your families, remember that the desire for the people is that they might be saved. There's no hope. In America, we confine our emotions. Even if you go to a lost funeral, there's some crying and different things like that. But there's not usually much weeping. There's not usually much wailing. There's not usually much shouting, because in America, we're too refined. But if you go to a lost nation, if you go to a foreign nation, even if you go to a Native American reservation, you'll find wailing. We need to have a desire for people to be saved. And I'll mainly ask the college guys, not to put anybody on the spot or anything like that, but you figure college guys are here for this reason. So how many of you guys believe that you're called to the ministry and that's why you're here? Okay, how many of you guys that believe you're called to the ministry believe you know where God would have you go in the ministry? You believe that's already settled in your heart. Okay, now how many of you guys that believe you're called to the ministry do not know where you believe God would have you go into the ministry? Okay? Okay, I'll put a plug in here at the end of the service, or I'll just do it now. Any of you guys want almost zero money for Bible college, but you want to work for somebody for a summer? I'll buy your plane ticket, I'll work you to death, and I'll give you a couple bucks towards your next semester in Bible college if you want to do something for a summer. As long as you're teachable, you can get a hold of me and ask your pastor. But we're going to talk next here, chapter 10 and verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. As you work out there on the Native American reservation, you'll hear all the time, even from well-meaning Christians, and part of this is true, and I agree with it, but they'll tell you, don't change their culture. Don't change who they are. Don't try to make them white men, and we shouldn't try to make them white men. No, they're natives. They're American Indians. We shouldn't try to make them white men. But they say, don't change them. You go out there, tell them about Jesus Christ, but don't change them. You know what? Everybody's heritage is God. Everybody's heritage is Jesus Christ. We have a message about this on the reservation. When all mankind started, it started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with God. All the heritage and the culture, and by culture, I'll say false religion, they can keep their culture. Everybody can have their culture. You can have your history. You can have your language. You can have the food you like to eat. You can have the hobbies you like to do. That's fine. But when it comes to false religion, you should forsake that and seek Jesus Christ. Every single Native American out there started with Jesus Christ. They started in the Garden of Eden, just as did every people group all around the world. But as the people group left God at the Tower of Babel, and as they went away speaking their own language, they took the truth that they knew from Scripture. They took this truth that they knew that was passed down from Adam and Eve, from walking and talking with God in the garden, and they perverted that. They turned that into their own religion. They turned that into their own way. And they served that perversion. They served their own imagination, what they made up themselves from the truth that they had in rejection to God. Everybody needs to get saved, and everybody needs to follow the culture of Scripture and not the culture of anybody else. Because everybody started off with God. The Hopi people, they have a zeal of God, but they don't have it according to knowledge. They'll dance all night in cold weather and rain with very little clothes on and with bare feet and do their ceremonies, and they'll do it all night long, and they'll do it nights in a row. There's times when they get buried, as they get buried, they'll dig that hole, and they'll, instead of burying somebody in the 6 foot part of the hole, they use that 6 feet down and 6 feet long to build steps down into it, and they carve out a little area there at the front of the tomb, there at the bottom of the grave, and they dig it out and they dig it out. They're careful not to hit it to where it caves in. And they lower the body down, all curled up in the fetal position. And they take that body and they very carefully put it inside that indention in the front at the head of the grave. And then they slide a big slate sandstone down in front of it to keep the body sealed there. And then they fill the main 6 foot part of the hole back up with sand, and they'll layer it with rocks and things like that so animals don't get in there. And then they usually pray over the body with cornmeal and things like that. The medicine man or whoever it is does as the ceremony and the blessing, and they believe that's returning the body back to the womb of Mother Earth, and they believe that that will send them rain, and they worship their ancestors. Their ancestors provide for them, and their ancestors do this for them. But all over the world, people have a zeal of God. They'll do all kinds of things. They'll make all kinds of sacrifices. They'll do all kinds of things, go to all kinds of heights to serve their God, but it's not according to knowledge. They don't know the Bible. They don't know Jesus Christ. They're following the traditions of men. They're following their heritage. They're following the imagination of their ancestors that's just going to lead them to hell. Zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, "Therefore they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Of course, people do not realize that salvation is not about their righteousness. It's not about their good deeds. It's about submitting themselves under the righteousness of God. On Hopi, they'll live in villages without running water and without electricity. And they think the harder of life that they live, that the more spiritual they are. They'll try to plant their field by hand and not use a tractor and not use machinery. It's kind of Amish, and they're thinking, the more old-fashioned I am, the more hard-working I am, but then by that I can use that humility and it'll get me a better place in the afterlife. But all it buys them is more and more pride. This is the way our people do it. This is the way our heritage does it. This is this. This is that. This is who we are. No, God created everybody. God created everybody in the Garden of Eden. God created everybody to submit themselves, therefore, unto God. God did not create anybody to rebel against Him, no matter if they're doing it in the imagination of their own mind or not. And by the way, Christian, we have to remember that every single day it is our duty to submit to God. We have to remember that every single day we have to put God on the throne and say, God, it is You who I lean on. God, You are my shield and You are my buckler and You are my strong tower. And I will not lean on the arms of flesh today, but I will lean on the everlasting arms. And God, I'll be obedient to You in whatever way You want me to be obedient. And I'll say today whatever it is You want me to say. And so much so lately, God has been going over and over and over in my life to submit to God. We need to submit to be saved. And what brings success in the Christian life and what keeps us alive is by holding on to the rock. By no matter what the body tells you, by no matter what the mind tells you, by no matter what the flesh tells you, by no matter what the world tells you, what TV, YouTube, TikTok, music people tell you, you just hold on to the promises of God and you live today according to the promises of God. And no matter how hard life gets you, you will come out on the other side alive and doing well, because Jesus Christ in the Bible is our rock. We will fail in and of ourselves. The flesh wants you dead. The world wants you dead. Satan wants you dead. I bet you almost everybody in here has contemplated suicide at one time or another, because the human body brings that across our mind, because the flesh wants us gone and the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy, but he is come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We always have to remember as Christians that God wants you to live, and God wants you to have a good life, and God wants you to have a blessed life, and God wants you to have the good things in life. But how you get those good things is by saying, God, I'll obey You no matter what. Please help me to get out of the way. Please don't let my flesh win. Please don't let my mind win. God, today I need You. And as we get saved, and as we kneel on one knee, and as we submit ourselves to the righteousness of God to be able to spend eternity in heaven, and as we desire those around us to do that, so must we day by day continue to submit ourselves unto God, that we may serve Him correctly throughout the day. On the reservation, they have things akin to baptism. They have hair washing ceremonies for newborns, and they have hair washing ceremonies for things at certain periods of time in their life. And then after a death, they're afraid of an evil spirit latching onto them and things like that. So after a death, they'll smoke themselves with cedar before they go into the house and eat and things like that afterwards. And they believe that smoking themselves with cedar chases the bad spirits away. And they do all of these things to try to purify themselves, to try to make them clean, to escape death. But all they have to do is submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. I know I'm not going over the cross-reference verses or things like that this evening, but Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." We need to remember that Christ is the end of the law. When we desire for the world to be saved and we teach them how to submit themselves unto the righteousness of God, we need to remind them that once they receive Jesus Christ as their God and as their Savior, all their ceremonies end, all their traditions end, everything that they held on to thinking it was going to give them righteousness, it ends because Christ is the end of the law. And then we're just obedient to God. And by the way, this verse also speaks of eternal security. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We have to remember that once we accept Jesus Christ as our God and as our Savior, it ends the law in our life. It has no more hold on us. We hold on to the promise of Scriptures and we remember that Christ saved us. And then as we hold on to the promises of Scripture, you don't let Satan cause doubt and you don't let Satan take that from you. As being a young Christian growing up in a Christian home, being saved when you're young, sometimes you listen to preaching and things like that and you say, "Man, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I'll say the prayer and I'll get saved again." And then maybe we'll go through different events in life and we'll see somebody give a strong testimony and we'll say, "You know what? Doesn't seem like God moved into my heart like that. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I'll get saved again." And we make different professions at different time in our life. But salvation is faith. Salvation is believing that when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, that God is going to do what you gave Him to do, and God is going to keep your soul against that day. Christian, you got saved at a young age. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You did it because you believed in the shed blood. You did it because you wanted to go to heaven. You didn't do it for your friend. You didn't do it for your family member. You didn't do it because somebody just asked you to do it. You did it because you wanted to accept Jesus Christ as your God and as your Savior. Rest upon God's promise. Next time the flesh brings doubt, next time the flesh brings fear, next time something comes up in your life, maybe there's health problems that cause all kinds of things to go awry inside of you, next time something happens, just go back to God's Word. You don't have to make another profession of faith. Just hold on to the promises of God. You know what? You may think another profession of faith, God may move into my heart with power. With another profession of faith, maybe something miraculous will happen and we start thinking, "Well, I'll do anything, God. I'll do anything. Just tell me what I need to do." And just remember, God's already done it. And God's the end of the law. And God's the end of the law for you. Sometimes getting saved at the young age takes even more faith just to rest in God's promises. You rest in the promise of God's salvation. And then you rest in the other promises that God has in Scripture. Satan will try to take your salvation away from you, because if he takes salvation away from you, he takes all the rest of the promises of the book away from you. Don't let salvation be wrested from you. Prove your salvation. And then as you remember the day that you got saved and you remember the fact that you called upon the name of Jesus Christ, then remember that He's the end of the law and you don't have to go back to the law and you have eternal security. And then you go forth and you share with others that even though they have a zeal for God, you have a desire for them to be saved. And of course, you know what missions is in verses 14 through 17. It says there, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they, a preacher who is sent to a people so that they may hear about God's righteousness and believe on that, so that they can escape hell and spend eternity in heaven with God. Then you help them find the blessings of God by following His word every day. In short, one person who is willing to submit to God in salvation and service that he might show others how to submit to God. Amen. Christians, if we fail to keep on submitting to God, then we'll fail to be able to show others how to submit to God for their righteousness. No matter what you do, whether it's hobby, whether it's work, no matter what you enjoy doing, no matter, go through it. I mean, I use basketball on the reservation. I use martial arts on the reservation. I use craft bazaars on the reservation to pass out tracts and church and soul winning. And you go down the list and photography and making calendars for people with Bible verses with photography. And whatever it is that you do, you can do it for the honor and glory of God. Just be willing to submit yourselves therefore unto God that you might show the world around you that there is a God. That there is hope. I appreciate the faithfulness of this church over the centuries. Well, decades, I guess. Maybe not centuries. Kids look at me and say, I must be centuries old, I guess. I'm not. All right. Over the decades, pastor's faithfulness through sickness and trials. Comes a point in your life as you get older that you realize every old person is an elder by fit of will. Because the body, through disease and distress and discouragement and life events, wants to snatch life from you a whole lot sooner. And those who are faithful to God, in spite of all of that, should be our heroes. And churches like this that still stand in spite of all of that and still are faithful, who have let God lead them and not let God or leaned on God so that they weren't put to confusion. And they realized what the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 50. If God be with me, who shall stand against me? And they just kept on doing right no matter what the Bible told them. As you college people pray to God and you look to your mission fields and you look to your pastorates, Pastor Townsley knows plenty of churches that need pastors. I know plenty of churches that need pastors and mission fields that need young men to come in and take up the ministry behind them that they put 40 of years into on a hard place and they don't have anybody to come behind them and take over the ministry, and they just need somebody who's willing to submit themselves unto God so that they might be willing in their area to show how people can submit to God for their righteousness and then for victory. Pastor, I'll let you finish.